Ha ha! Fuck yeah, Craig.
My
kids also, they're a little less sensitive than yours, because they're a little older, but still, I still got the 16-year-old kind of next door here trying to go to sleep. So anyway,
yep. But he'll get over. Yeah, what a weekend to be a Coug. What a perfect weekend. And what a perfect day on Saturday, perfect night on Friday. It's just one of those times when Pullman just felt so special, and you can really see what a football game day can be like when everything is clicking, when everyone is happy and there. And truthfully, it was just such a unique thing having this large but major fan base. Usually the major fan bases we have are ones we see over and over again, Oregon, yeah. Oregon State, and yeah. Or, you know, USC, UCLA, whatever. But to see Wisconsin fans around, it was such a surreal thing. And I mean, we were just like as nice as could be to them. I think everyone tried to be, you know, offering them beer, you know, I'd say hello and welcome and chat them up whenever I could. I think they were having a good time and they were appreciating what Pullman was about. And like, it was just what, and then we went out and fucking beat them. And then they weren't so happy after that.
I think there was definitely we're definitely going to win. So it's cool. Kind of vibe going,
which
on,
was but. Definitely kind of the, was the vibe last year too. Sure. Which you think they would have learned their lesson. Like I know, and thank you for the idiot gifts. I know I picked us to lose, but I did. I truthfully did not think we were going to lose. It didn't feel like Wisconsin didn't feel any, you know, when we previewed, if you listen to our preview, like they just didn't feel like so unbeatable as they did last year when they were coming to play them. Yeah. But where we thought we needed miracles to beat them. This really just looked like two like fairly evenly matched teams, but one is executing in the red zone and one is not. And one is not, one is taking care of the ball and one is not.
I would argue that's the bigger one. Turnovers are, I mean, that was everything that it led to, you know, directly led to, 14 points, right? Like the one turnover, the strip six, as it were, led to a touchdown. And then, of course, the one turnover, the fumble at the end that may or may not have been a fumble. But, then the game sealing touchdown comes after that. So,
yep.
You know, it's pretty turnovers, man. They matter a lot.
But, yeah, I mean, WSU builds a big lead. Wisconsin's kicking field goals. Wazoo's scored touchdowns. It's that first touchdown drive, but truthfully the first drive there was a chance for a 60-yard touchdown pass. Camp just took his eye off a little too early from Kyle Williams who was running scramble drill and bolted down the sideline with no one around him after Cam had pointed him to go.
Yep.
And then Cam looked to the right, and he was, I've heard the whole stadium was like, ah, yes.
Everybody
ah!
else saw it.
Like, and then it was two plays later, they punted, you know? And so, but then, you know, they come back, they drive, and, just, Cam was just, Dickert said it after the game, and they put the game in his hands, and they did, like, he was under duress a lot. He was making plays with his feet. He was making throws, keeping plays alive. And then we got to see some of, you know, what Arbuckle can do, you know, on that, you know, the action they used with Kyle Williams to score that first touchdown to get him wide open on a third down was amazing. You know, that's tape and that's execution. You know, Williams yep. runs that little motion in, but then he cuts out real quick. I mean, it's quickness too. Like, Williams is quick as fuck, and he just burned, and there was no one, no chance. But you know, Cam just threw it out there, knowing he'd be open, and yeah. and it was so cool to see. Like, hey, you know, last year, it kind of felt like we were scraping by to move the ball, and it was like really tough. But in that first half, it felt like they were moving it. And it was really, if they'd fuck up, that's the only way they wouldn't move the ball.
Yeah.
You know, that first half was so fun to watch. So fun to watch WSU just completely be more prepared than the opponent, out executing the opponent. And then just seeing some really talented dudes making plays, Brennan Jackson and RJ Stone. Fucking Kyle Williams, like I don't like it. It's amazing, and it was just fun to watch, and it's just crazy to think that WSU has had a 2-game series against Wisconsin and swept it. But yeah, like I just yeah, like it's nuts, and What were your thoughts on the first half too? So I don't want to bogart the whole conversation here, but like it was
it's
just
okay,
The vibes.
There's so much
just,
to say.
It was so it was just one of those. It felt a lot like college game day
yes.
when they were up like 27
for sure.
Like it just felt like, man, everything is going right. Like we're just
yep,
crushing
that,
it right now. Like it's
that
so
was definitely
good.
The vibe. Yep, that was definitely the vibe. I would say even pregame that was the vibe. That it just, you know, you could just feel how big of a game it was. You could feel everybody's energy. It just, everybody was like just super amped up, you know, and in the best possible way too. Like I've been around, you know, plenty of like say Apple Cups where the energy is real high, but it's, you know, it's more of a tense energy. Right.
Right.
This on the other hand was just like, you know, people were just excited. They were fired up. And, you know, one of the things we talked about on the show last week was, you know, we were both sort of curious really what the vibe was going to be like, right? Was the conference stuff going to sort of be front of everybody's mind? Were we going to be sort of wistfully excited or something? You know what I mean? Like with these conflicting emotions where we're both, you know, super excited for the game, but also kind of wistful for, you know, what we know that it probably is or is not. And those kinds of things. I don't know about you. I didn't catch any of those kinds of vibes at all. It was just, people were just excited and
yeah.
people were just like having fun and fired up. And of course then the, you know, the good vibes kept going more or less as soon as the game started, except for the opening kickoff, which was like,
what are you doing, Lincoln?
But you know, of course it ended up working out okay. So anyway, it just, you know, that first half was just so glorious and so good. And, you know, and the second half was, you know, was a real struggle, but I think Jake Dickert, you know, God bless him. I think that he put it in a way that really, really resonated with me. And I know sometimes, you know, fans are always, they are after the elusive complete game, right? They want the complete game. And I really think what fans want when they want a complete game is they just want to have good vibes for all 60 minutes. Like, I think that's
yep.
really what it comes
yep.
down to.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I want a stress-free viewing experience. I don't want to have to stress out about this. When I see a complete game, I am able to just enjoy my enjoyment, to quote, you know, Mike Cameron and his four homer day. It's like, that's what they want. And so in a game like this, where, you know, I threw out the well-known, turd quarter. Right. And of course, my wife thought that was really funny because she had never heard that before. And I'm like, I wish I could take credit for that, but
look how cool you are.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's been a thing for quite a while. And I definitely did not coin it. But, you know, it's like, yeah, there were, you know, rough patches of the game. But, you know, what Dickert said that I thought was just so good, he was like, but we built that lead. Like, we did the work to build the lead. They had
those points
back.
Counts, too.
Those points all count, right? Yeah. You know, he's
doesn't
like,
matter
they,
when you score them.
Yeah, he's like, they had to come back. They had to fight back. We were able to use that lead that we built, and then we were able to finish the game. And I was like, that was, I just thought that was so perfect, right? Like, just, you know, that the struggle is, you know, just part of the deal. And yeah, would I have rather rolled on through the third quarter and not have had that happen, not have had them be a 2-point conversion away from tying the game? I would have really preferred it that way. But from their perspective, from a coach's perspective, and honestly, just from, you know, an in the end kind of perspective, like, you know, they did the damn thing, and it kind of doesn't matter how it got there. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we're like about with the team right now, but in terms of the result, like, I mean, it just was perfect. And of course, all of that came flowing out, you know, after the final whistle. Oh, and I did want to say one more thing about Cam, and I want to know kind of what you think about this. It certainly seemed to me that he was being extra super conscious of taking care of the ball. Like, is that, did you get that vibe as well?
Yeah.
It seemed like he was generally not trying to take any risks.
Yeah. Because if you think about last year at Wisconsin, he got pretty lucky that he didn't fuck up the game a couple times.
Yep.
With like really, really bad, dumb plays. But he was just like, you know what? I'm just going to use my feet. Because I think he had 17, he had 3 sacks, but he had 14 carries on top of that too. Like, you know, so he was running the ball, and really that clinching drive was all about him stretching plays and making runs downfield out of scramble drill. He had like 40 of those yards, I think, on that last drive, just scrambling. And that's what, you know, they leaned on their strengths. They leaned on what they could do. And, you know, and this defense is good. And we got to talk about Jaden Hicks. Like, oh my God.
Yes, we do.
He is so fucking good. He's fast.
He's really good.
He's fast. He's intelligent. He hits hard. He's another in a long line of really fucking good WSU safeties, and he might be one of the best. Like,
he's a sophomore.
Yeah.
He's a sophomore. He's so good.
And he's already like, he's got the NFL body already and stuff. Like, he is so good. Stone and Jackson got a lot of the credit because they're the big plays, but Hicks was the best player on the field.
Yes. Well,
either side of the ball.
Yeah,
like he was the best player. He was breaking up passes. He was shutting down runs. He was covering over the top. Like he was just doing everything.
Yep.
He was all over the fucking field, and like he by himself shut down several Wisconsin drives. Yeah. And he gives me hope. Having him in the back end, plus with the pass rushers in the front, they're going to be a damn, like, I think we got a damn good defense again. Like they held Wisconsin to 5.3 yards of play. Honestly, if Wisconsin wasn't chasing a big lead, I think you see them probably have even better looking numbers, because they really had to get away from the run a lot. Because Braylon Allen had, let me scroll up on this. He had seven carries for 20 yards. And Ches Malusi, 12 for 50. And that's, I mean, he's like an 8 yards a carry guy a lot.
Yeah, he's a home run type guy.
Yeah, like he's like, they didn't let either of them break free for anything big. Even in the passing game, they tried to get it to Allen out in space a couple times. Nothing. Hicks shut that down. It was just impressive that they took away Wisconsin's strengths and they were able to capitalize on their own strengths and win the game. Like, because like I said, these look like two pretty evenly matched teams. Wisconsin probably a little overrated for what they were because of some of their coaching changes, some of the transfers in. Tanner Mordecai doesn't look like the player that they hoped that they were getting, honestly.
I thought he was pretty good. I mean, he did miss a couple throws late.
He made one definitely their second touchdown. It was absolutely incredible play.
Yeah. I thought he was pretty good. Like, he showed some real ability in the pocket, very athletic, made some really nice throws. Like you said, the touchdown where he was moving to his left, throws across his body. And in fact, the funny thing about that play is that was the one play that Jaden Hicks didn't make. He was the one in coverage, and it was so bizarre because it happened kind of right in front of me, and so I rewatched the game today, and you couldn't totally see it on the broadcast, but Hicks is in practically perfect position to make a play on the ball as he's running across. So this guy comes all the way across the field. Hicks picks him up, stays with him stride for stride, and he's like right there. And then kind of at the last second, as the throw is being made, the receiver like moves back toward the goal line just a little bit, just kind of subtly. And then Hicks, like, I don't know if he like just loses track of the ball for a second or what, but he kind of ends up from being like kind of right on the receiver's hip to all of a sudden like shifting kind of behind the receiver. And then he couldn't make a play on the ball. And he ends up giving up the touchdown. And I'm like, I just couldn't believe it because I'm looking at him going, so from my seat, I could see it. Like, it was straight down the line in front of me, basically. And I could see the whole thing developing. I'm like, oh, Hicks is right there. He's going to pick this off. He's going to pick it off. And then he just sort of inexplicably kind of settled in behind the receiver. So I don't know if he just, like I said, lost track of the ball or what. But I mean, in the next game, that might be an interception. Like, he was absolutely right there. And then he just kind of like got just ever so slightly out of position. For as great of a play as that was by Mordecai and the receiver, Bell, I think was the receiver. It was almost that good a play by Hicks as well to be with that fast of a guy all the way across the field. And he was that close, to making the play. So yeah, that, even though that was a play that didn't get made, that was, for me, another feather in his cap. He just was so damn good. I mean, our friend Jamie Vinnick over at Coug Center wrote a, is Jaden Hicks
a Coug fan.
Safety in the cut, or Coug fan? Sorry, Coug fan. Over at Coug fan wrote about, is Jaden Hicks the best safety in the country? And I'm not sure I'm ready to go that far yet because I'm not sure I buy that much to that degree into PFF grades. But man, he was real, like you said, best player on the field. He was really, 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 really fucking good. And it's kind of freaky how good he is.
And we got to talk about, they pulled out some stops in this game. They got a wide receiver pass from Lincoln Victor.
Yep.
Which they definitely wanted to do on a 2-point. They wanted to get, I don't know if they were just trying to get it on film like last week. They definitely tried a wide receiver pass with him on an end around. On a 2-point conversion last week.
Yep.
And he didn't have anywhere to go with it and just tried to run it in. They got loose and to throw, a wide receiver throwing the ball 30 yards down the field. Like, the defense just doesn't anticipate that. Like, it's hard to defend because
right.
you're like, okay, they're not going to throw the ball over the top of me. And to hit a guy, you know, he almost had a touchdown. He's like, I honestly thought it was a touchdown. I thought the guy rolled. I thought he rolled over him into the end zone. But
yeah, he was. That was another one we were looking straight down. It was just, it was a little short. The throw was just a tiny bit underthrown. Let people catch up. But still, great play.
Yeah. Yeah, you had, you know, Kyle Williams, only 5 targets, but 47 yards and a touchdown. He had a huge, you know, he burned single coverage in the first quarter on a nice, I think he had, it was a 37-yard pass, perfect, a dime from Cam. It's one of those ones where makes me, you know, because I'll like, if I see the safety over, if I'm up in my seat, like, or if I see one single high or something, I'm always like, you know, X or Z or whatever, you know, like, hey. And so then they threw it there, and I was like, hey, yeah, I'm very smart because I called that. Right. But yeah, you can always call that one. They got a real nice play to Jenkins in the pass game again. He's had a couple weeks in a row. They used the tight ends. They got Andre Dollar a catch. They got Billy Revere a catch. You know, and so they used what they had. And they had enough to put 31 points up. You know, 24 offensive points and a touchdown on defense, which they have a touchdown on defense in both games. And actually, I think they should have had 2 last game because I think they got robbed of one. But so you know, they're playing. They're playing that ball-hawking defense that we're used to on the good Cougar defenses, but they also seem pretty sound. Like, they don't seem like they're taking chances. They just have, like, they have speed. Like, they have a lot of speed, you know, and they have a lot – they don't have a ton of size, but they have enough size, and they have speed, and they're using that speed. They're forcing teams to go side to side, and even, well, you know, Wisconsin tried to go up the middle, and they couldn't. They were not getting shit. So just the defense, you got to come away feeling so good about the defense. I know that they gave up a couple touchdown drives. Honestly, the offense wasn't really helping them out. You know, and you know what? Wisconsin's not a bad team. Like, they're, again, like you said, like, I know we expect, like, to roll over. But, like, if WSU would have came out and won this game, like, 42-9, like, we would be like, okay, maybe WSU is like a college football playoff team, but like it's not, like, they're not that good. But just be happy they're mentally tough.
Yeah,
you know, they could have, when Wisconsin pulled within 2, it could have been over, man. Like, it could have,
kind of felt like it was.
Because we, you know, we in the stands are not mentally tough. Like, we have been hurt too many times.
We are fragile. We are incredibly fragile.
Yeah. And so we're like, this is over. It's done. Like, whatever. We had a good time. I will say, so I, the first 2 quarters, found out, you know, just randomly, the seat I purchased this year happened to be right next to our friend Lars. And so we were having
that was amazing.
I just randomly, like, WSU, because I was a single seat, it was, like, hard for them, you know, because they can't leave another single, which is just a stupid rule. The Mariners have it too. Like, it's just, it's nuts. So we watched the first 2 quarters together. Great. Lars goes somewhere, I don't know, in the third quarter, I think maybe to sit with some other people or talk to some other people. So I go over and sit by Rochelle, my friend Rochelle, and her family. I have, like, some seats behind them. So I'm like, oh, let's go hang out with them for a bit. And that was just, it was terrible. Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good. I did it again. But even though I'm just constantly moving my finger at this thing. So I watched that whole third quarter, and then I just, like, got up and I'm like, all right, see you later. I'm gonna go back to my seat. And then Lars came back to his seat as well for the fourth quarter. And everything went well. So I apologize to everyone for moving from my seat.
all your fault.
Should have stayed in that damn seat the whole time.
Yep. That would have solved
it. But yeah, I will say it takes quite an effort to rush the field from the club section. I went down out of the stadium, out of the club uh-huh. entrance
uh-huh.
and ran back. I didn't even, like, I saw the usher look at me and I was running like, I would say full sprint, but like half sprint, like in. I looked at her and I was like, you ain't stopping this and you know that. And
she yeah,
was
yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever. Like, I just like run in. I'm like, and it run down to the field. But yeah, so I had a little bit of a delayed field rush, but I made it down there and saw, you know, found my sister, found Emma, found the Preston and Sammy. And, so we had a grand old time. And that's always fun, you know, like that was very satisfying field rush. So there was a lot of emotion behind that. I think, one could say like, oh, WSU's kind of beyond, like, well, they beat a number 19 team. Like, WSU's done this a lot, like in the last yep. 10 years, but you know, having it be such a big day and, just whatever it's going on, like you knew if we won, we were going to rush field. And to them play, you know, they play back home and everyone's jumping around and then they play yep. jump around.
And then they play jump around.
Yeah. Which was great.
Well, I was talking with Sarah. I'm trying to remember what I was like in the middle of a conversation with her and, you know, and I did not, by the way, as everybody knows, if they know me, I did not storm the field. I leave that to the young folks like you. And I just kind of sit up above and I just watch and I smile and I take pictures and I take video. And
young,
I was in the middle
38 year olds.
That's right. Like you are definitely the youngest 38 year old I know. I was talking to her about something. I don't remember what, but I was kind of like mid sentence when they started playing jump around. And I was like, I just stopped and I was like, oh shit. And Sarah's like, what? And I'm like, okay, this song. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, this is the greatest troll job I've ever heard at a stadium, at a sporting event. I'm like, so then I have to, of course, explain it to her. And I'm like, you know, which kind of takes some of the fun out of it because, you know, they take me like, you know, 30 seconds to explain it. But then she was like, oh, okay. And she turns around and there were a couple of older ladies, Wisconsin fans. And they were just sort of like, oh my God, it's our song. And they started jumping. And I'm like,
that's cute.
I'm like, oh my God, you don't even know what's happening right now. And then like some other like Wisconsin fans who stuck around to watch the aftermath were kind of giving them the stink eye. And I think they kind of figured it out after a few minutes.
Like, no, they're making fun of us.
Yeah. It's like,
to be so naive.
I know. It's like the Jonah Hill gif, right? Where he's like, you know, around his neck, like, stop, you know, stop.
Stop. And, no, that ain't it.
That ain't it. And so, but I was just like, I was dying. I was absolutely dying. And then, the fight song and back home. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun to watch. And I'm like, I love watching people have fun. I love watching people have unbridled joy. And also I loved watching the Wisconsin fan in front of me who about got his face knocked out before the game ever started, leave very sad. So that was not by me. It wasn't me. He about got his face knocked out by another guy in the row in front of us. Cause being a belligerent asshole before the game. He was the only one, by the way. We talked about the Wisconsin fans, he was the only one I met that was a total jerk. And, it was pretty great watching him stress out for 4 hours and eventually leave very sad. So it was great.
Yeah, and if I think I noticed, so I noticed on the artist formerly known as Twitter, they had a DJ that game.
Yes,
playing the music.
He was from the Kraken.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
I don't know if he is a WSU alum too. Like, they kind of didn't make that clear. I don't know if they just brought him over because of whatever. I don't know. Maybe he went to Wazoo. I don't know. But they said he was the Kraken DJ. And having been to a Kraken game, I've heard the DJ. He's good, obviously.
Yeah. And I think there was definitely like a different vibe on the music. And,
yes.
I think even probably less, like the band maybe was playing a little bit less, which is always the best, but
and we do have to talk about the band at some point.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about the band.
Okay, you want to talk about the band?
Let's I'm going to let you, because you were a band geek, so you get into it.
All right, so my history is I was in the Cougar Marching Band for like 3 weeks.
Three more weeks than I.
Yes, that is true. I went in as a freshman and thought I wanted to do it. I'd played band all through high school, and I was like, okay, I want to do marching band. I thought that'd be super fun. Of course, as I talked about before on the show, for those of you who are new, I grew up always thinking I was going to go to Washington. Like that was the dream. That was what I wanted. And it was only like sort of about halfway into my senior year that I realized after visiting Pullman, that's where I wanted to be. So I was like, yeah, I want to do marching band. And when I got into the marching band after 3 weeks, there were a couple things. One is I realized I was going to have a tough time doing that time commitment plus the time commitment I had to the Daily Evergreen. And I was there to be a writer. I was there to be a journalist. So I was like, I think I kind of have to pick this one. But also it was really hard. Like the quality, like it was really tough. Like the director was way more relaxed than my high school director was. And that was a really tough adjustment for me. And I just felt like things were just maybe not as quality as they should be. And so over the years, kind of watching the band at times, kind of come and go, the quality's been kind of hit and miss. And on Saturday they were playing pregame, and I was like, damn, they sound really good. And then the halftime show, which normally I'm, I usually go somewhere or whatever, but I stayed in my seat for this one. And I was just, they did like this classic rock set. I think they played Kashmir, and they, I don't remember what the other ones were, but anyway, it was, they played a Metallica song. Like and it wasn't like Enter Sandman. It was like it was like Master of Puppets. That's what it was. Master of Puppets, which is like most people, I don't think, know Master of Puppets by Metallica, right? That's not on the top 10 list of songs if you're not a Metallica fan, right? And they just sounded really good, and they looked pretty good too, but mostly they just sounded really good. I was like, shit, this is good. And then like, I'm like, did they get a new director? So I like jump on my phone, and sure enough, they got a new director this year. And apparently he came from Purdue. One of our listeners here, I won't name names, but one of our listeners here DM'd me and said, yeah, they dude came from Purdue, knows his stuff, is giving the band the stuff they need to succeed. And it is clearly working, because they sounded fantastic. So kudos to the Cougar Marching Band. Whatever hard work you're doing right now is paying off, man. It is noticeable and it is awesome. And they moved the band back to the end zone, which is great.
Yes, that's where they belong. Yeah, so everyone can hear them.
So everyone can hear them. Yes.
Yeah, that's an important factor.
You would think that would be a primary consideration.
Yeah, I think all in all, like Pullman and Wazoo just really showed out. Like I think it was just like, as Jake Dickert said at the end, like, we belong in the Power Five. It was that was like the whole attitude, like, fuck you. Like, we belong here, and you're all telling, and people are watching this game. We're right up against fucking Alabama and Texas, and still 2.5 million people watch a fucking game. We get like a 40 share in Seattle. Everything you say about us isn't true. Right now, we currently have all three of our fall sports are ranked. Like, we're not a bottom feeder school. Like, it's just like, what the fuck are you even talking about? And that this whole vibe of the athletic department for the last few weeks and this week after has just been like, fuck you. And the football team came out and played like that. And the band played like it, and the students acted like it, and we all acted like it. Like, it was just like, you know what? Fuck you. Like, Pullman fucking rules. We're excited that finally someone from someone outside of the Pac-12 gets to see this. And a lot of Wisconsin fans, I heard of it, they came away impressed. They were impressed with Pullman. They were impressed with the atmosphere. They were impressed with how loud it was. in Martin Stadium, you know, they see how little it is. They think it's not going to be loud. It's so fucking loud. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you have 10,000 students and you have the great acoustics from the football building and the premium seating, just bouncing all that sound from the students around, like, it's just like, I just love get, like, you know, someone who goes to so many fucking games and sees so many just weak, like, kind of like, you know, half baked Pullman crowds, like, you know, like this, unfortunately I won't be there, but like this weekend in Northern Colorado, I have a feeling it's not going to be quite the same intensity, but when you could go there, it's like at its best, it's just fucking beautiful. Like, yeah. And this weekend, it was so beautiful. Like, the, you know, all the tailgates are completely packed. All the bars are completely packed. Like, everywhere you're just walking around, there's people everywhere. Like, it's so, it's just so beautiful. Like, there was people there. Like, the Coug was full at closing time. Not like full, but like the tables were all full at closing time. Like, both nights, not that I would know, both nights. And honestly, I have many like football weekends where I sit there and I put on emo songs at 1 o'clock and just run that until they kick us out. And then it's just me and my friends, like, for like, you know, for the last 45 minutes, even on football weekends. But man, everything was just full. Like, it felt like, you know, a homecoming crowd in a way, because it really was. Like, I'm sure a lot of people normally would have planned for homecoming or Apple Cup games or something. They came to this game, and that's why it was so important to have, like, it's just so huge to have like a game like this in non-conference, like, and why we wanted it for so long, because this was exactly what we wanted. Like, this atmosphere was exactly what we were hoping for, and I love that the Cougs showed out, like the Coug fans, the Coug players, the Coug students, like everyone just showed out, and it was just a killer fucking perfect weekend, and it was just so much fun to be there, be a part of it. I'm so glad that you were there, Jeff. I'm so glad that so many of our Coug Center friends were there, and that we could all share in it together. You know, for parts of the day, it was just like it was so perfect. And I'm so glad. You know, like you said again, we talked about the vibes, and I was worried about the vibes. But honestly, once I got to Pullman, I didn't care about anything. Like, there was none of that shit was on my mind. Like, I was just having a good time. I was enjoying the moment, and it was what a moment to enjoy. To talk about, like, fuck, I'm gonna start crying. But like, to talk about, like, you talk about, like, being so overjoyed. Like, I was fucking crying when they got that last stop. Like, I was like crying in my seat because it was just like, I was drunk, but like the emotion of it, like, like, just be like, wow, like, yeah, we did it. Like, we did it. Like, you have days like this, and you hope that the Cougs can win the game, so that doesn't become like this, like, well, but we lost the game, so that kind of sucked. But like, everything else was cool, but then we lost the game. No, like, it was just like, it was like, holy shit, we did it. And all we've been through the last couple months, like, to get that W, like, it was such a cathartic experience, and it was so fun to experience it with so many people that I love. And I'm so excited that Lars was sitting next to me. Like, you know, like, someone, you know, like, I've been to football games with him a million fucking times, and then WSU randomly put me next to him. Like, it's so cool.
Like, it's like you have seatmates without having seatmates. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even try to have a seatmates, like, an AJ. Like, I know AJ too. Like, I've stayed at AJ's place before. And like, you know, I've tailgating with AJ for years. And so, like, I have seatmates. I didn't even try. Yeah. And like, you know, there was obviously, you know, doing this, writing for Coug Center, there were multiple people behind me. They knew who I was. You know, so I immediately had, like, friends there. They were talking to me. You know, like, it's a cool thing that we have when we go to Pullman. I don't want to be like, sound like fucking like full of myself, but like, but it's so cool. Like, when it people come up and talk to us, like,
well,
like,
it's almost always in the context of, we love what you do. Thank you for doing it. Right. Like, cause we don't make, you know, we really don't make any money off this now. Cause like, you know, we're not, you know, getting paid by Coug Center much anymore anyway. And it's like, when people are like, yeah, well, you know, it's so cool what you do, and thanks for doing it. And like, it feels good, right? It feels good. I will say you were not here for this, but my greatest moment of celebrity from the weekend was when we left the Coug. By the way, one thing we didn't mention was when we left the Coug, we gave up our table to Wisconsin fans. That's how nice we were trying.
That's karma.
We found them
in the line. We were like, hey, those, them right there. Let's give it to them.
We're like, give them the table. They can, that way they can have a table and they can enjoy their time at the Coug. And we left the Coug and then we went, I don't even know where you guys went. I think you went to the RV lot for a little bit. And then Sarah and Emma and I went to the Cub to just get some water, cool off. It was hot, right? It was like 85 degrees and sunny. And the Coug especially was like, I don't know, 130 degrees. It was like the surface of the sun. And so we went to the Cub to cool off a little bit, drink some water, and we ran into Zane again. So Zane, for people who don't know, Zane's another one of our Coug Center friends, like kind of developed into, you know, kind of one of my best online buddies over the years. And so he was there with his family. And so I was like talking and, you know, his kids were there and I was saying hi to his kids. And then at some point Zane goes, said my name. He said my name. And one of his kids goes, wait, are you the Jeff Neusser? And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, that's me. They're like, oh my God. It's like, they're like, all the kids are like hitting each other. They're like, it's him from the podcast. And I'm like, like, I'm dying. So, Zane's kids, hi, and I'm shouting you out on the podcast right now. So it was really nice to meet you guys. And I felt like I was the one who got to meet somebody famous. So there we go. That was my brush with fame on Saturday.
That's amazing. I got a shout out to, you know, our, and I'll give another shout out in a little bit, but, our managing editor, my little blog sister, Emma, who herself was getting recognized and has never experienced that before. And it was so sweet, like, to be like, I just like Lee did, like it feels kind of cool, doesn't it? Like when people say hi to you, they say that they think what you do is cool. And I'm like, she's like, yeah, it does. I'm like, yeah, I know it kind of sounds like a jerk to say that, but like, if someone says like they like what you do, like that's nice. Like it's nice. Yes, so it is. I appreciate all of you that do that. Like I genuinely appreciate it. You like make it, it always makes me happy. So I appreciate that. Cause yeah, we like doing it. When Jeff and I started this podcast, we just, it was kind of like, fine. SB Nation wants us to do a podcast. Let's do a podcast, whatever. Like we talk to each other all the time and now it's like people actually like it. They enjoy it. That's wonderful. I think, you know, Jeff and I are both passionate fans and I think that's why some of you all enjoy it. It was just this kind of weekend was just such a big celebration. And so I just loved, you know, just to get positive feedback too. Like, another kind of moment, like I'll say, it's just wild. Like, so, we went to the volleyball game. We'll talk the volleyball game in a little bit, but we went to the volleyball game on Friday night and thank you to my friend Andrew, my OG Zoo Crew friend Andrew, who for the second volleyball game I've been to in a row, was able to give me and my sister and then Emma this time some of the reserve seating because he had some open seats. Awesome. So we got to, you know, sit. Not up in like the rafters, you know, sitting in a seat, and that was cool. But Andrew said like, oh, like, you know, come back to my car. I have something for you after the game. And I was like, oh, cool. And he pulls out this like Pac-12 women's basketball tournament shirt, and it's signed by the whole team.
What?
Like, yeah. Like,
I saw the picture you sent, and I was like, where did that come? Like, did you run around and get all the signatures during the volleyball game or what?
So,
what'd you do?
So he said he got the shirt and he was like, oh, I know one person who would appreciate this more than anyone. And so he went to the team and he went to Charlize and he said that and them and like, they're like, oh, who's a four? And it's like my friend Craig. And they're like, Craig who? And he says, oh, he does the podcast. And they're like, oh, we know who Craig is. Like, we know Craig. And it's because, like, the athletes see this shit, too. Like, they see it, yeah. too. And so that's why I've realized that over the years, like, that the athletes read all this. So I've definitely always tried to take, like, a nicer tone, like, to when talking about athletes specifically. You know, we can talk about broader trends, but like when you talk about the specific athletes, try to, because they are reading this, and they're young, and they're not, you know, they're not professionals and all that. So but that was nice to hear, and that, you know, they like what we're doing around, you know, the women's basketball coverage and all that. So so yeah, and it got me a signed t-shirt, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, so that was a, thank you, Andrew, for that. Like, I know you listen. That's so awesome. I appreciate that, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I, yeah. So, he's going to be sitting next to Lars for this next game. So that's nice. Yeah. Nice. So that would be cool. Yeah. not to dox you there, Andrew, sorry. But, yeah, so yeah, it's, I don't know. Like, there was so many great moments over the weekend. Shout out to the Wander Squad and the Wander Squad adjacent, as we call you, even though we love you. We had some great moments, and just I don't like this is why we go to these games. You know, why we go to so many games, and why we follow these teams is just to have moments like this, and honestly. What to transition a bit here, what made it even like just kept the vibes going for another couple of days was WSU and Oregon State. It's like filing an injunction, I guess, against the Pac-12 in Whitman County with a Coug alum, Whitman County judge,
which is hilarious.
To prevent or at least delay a meeting that Klyakov and the conference were trying to call with all the departing members and getting them to vote on things, which has precedence of, you know, there's yeah, obvious, I mean, very, very recent precedence of that not being allowed.
I mean, up until this point, the people who had announced their intent to depart no longer participated in conference matters, right? So like when USC and UCLA announced that they were going, like, you know, 15 months ago or whatever it was, they stopped attending Pac-12 meetings. Like, that just was it, like, you're done, right? You don't vote, you don't get any input, you're leaving. Did the same thing to Colorado when they announced they were leaving. So the very last sort of fateful meeting that they had where everything, you know, fell apart, that was not attended by USC, not attended by UCLA, and not attended by Colorado, because Colorado had already decided to go to the Big 12. So there's all this precedent for that. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're going to have this meeting with all 12 members, and WSU and Oregon State are like, whoa, 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 wait a second. No, like, this is not going to be some kind of, you know, hostile takeover. And of course, the Pac-12's, you know, lawyers made the argument like, well, I mean, how do you know that's what's going to happen? You don't know what's going to happen. It, you know, we just need to talk, right? And, so yeah, WSU was obviously not going for that. So they filed the lawsuit, and apparently the judge was not buying it either.
Yeah, I listened to or watched quite a lot of it. He just kept saying, you know, well, it's 10 versus 2. Like, how do you think that's going to go? It's 10 versus 2. And the Pac-12 lawyers just try to say, well, we're hoping, you know, that people in good conscience will vote, you know, they'll take it. It's like, no, they're going to do what they want to do for themselves. Which is
because they already have,
yeah. Right?
Everything they've done to this point is for themselves.
They want to get every dollar they can out of the Pac-12 before they leave, and that, in their bet, you know, literally asking for transition dollars, which fuck off. Like, fuck off. Why should the conference pay you money to leave the conference?
It's insane. That
makes no goddamn sense. So what I said on Slack, I love how this little bit has like turned it around to where now we can mock them for like trying to do the stupidest shit, trying to say that the conference said this, but they're obviously saying it on behalf of them. Like the conference is trying to say that these teams hadn't actually announced their intent to leave or hadn't indicated their intent.
They haven't officially provided notice.
Even though every school like put it on Twitter, the conferences themselves had it on their websites, like everything. Like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
What the Oregon State lawyer argued was that there is no language around exactly what you have to do to announce your intent. Like, so there's nothing that says it has to be like a formal letter to the conference of like separation or anything. So you could easily say like UW puts like we're heading to like we're going to the Big Ten like on their Twitter account, like. You announce it as a press release, like come on, I think like, and the next matter that this is delaying, and so basically this is delaying so that they can then decide legally who is allowed to actually have board rights for the Pac-12, and it seems like they're going to have a hard time proving that they did not, because there is a specific Pac-12 bylaw that says once you announce intent to leave the conference, you no longer have board rights and voting rights. So it seems like it's going to be very hard for them to prove that they have not done that. Like, even UW today announced that they're...
That's really hilarious.
They're like voting on moving forward to the Big Ten. They're asking for the Big Ten for a loan for the entry fee, like a payday loan or whatever.
Which will be like, earned back with future TV dollars or something. But it's like they're doing like it's, you know, if it walks like a duck and it acts like a duck and. I mean, obviously, that's maybe not the best choice of analogy, but still, it's like, you know, just if it looks like what it is, it's probably that. So the judge, of course, you know, saw right through all of it and was just like, this is no. And so what he is given is a temporary, as far as I understand, is a temporary restraining order.
Restraining order, yeah.
Which is like will keep them from meeting until...
So
like the issues can sort of be fully fleshed out, which I think was the right move. I mean, they will, you know, both sides will get their full day in court. This just keeps them from doing anything until later, except if they do want to have something before that point, then essentially they have to run it by the judge first, the way I understand it. So, which of course it, you know, it's, they'll have to guarantee that they're not going to do anything in that meeting. And of course, if now that they're not having the meeting and they didn't say, well, we're definitely not doing anything, now there's no meeting, right? So they definitely were going to try and do something. And I think the part that is sort of funny, like, I don't know, the whole thing is just like, you know, theater of the absurd kind of stuff. But they left so hastily and so haphazardly that they couldn't even conspire correctly to take the shit on the way out the door. Like, and I think that is sort of what is both humorous to me, but also like just underscores how poorly this was all thought out. And how, you know, panic can set in, right? And how things that, cause I mean, like people keep pointing this one out, right? That, you know, the schools were looking for a certain kind of deal. And of course, in the time that has passed, it's been reported ESPN offered, $30 million a year, and conference turned it down. They were looking for 50, and went down, months and months and months and months and months of negotiations after that, right? And it's like, okay, so they were looking for this other thing, and then they all just end up going and joining these other conferences for deals that were just so much worse than even the Apple deal. Like, UW, Oregon, I guess they're the ones that make the most sense. I don't know. Like, they're still taking a cut deal, in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I think their payout is like something like $35 million.
I think it's $30 million, and then it's $30 million.
Their travel costs are going up.
It's an extra million every year until the next TV deal. So I think it'll top out at 37 and it's million, only, like 7 years.
Yeah, it's only 7 years. Like, the deal's only seven years. So they're operating at a significant revenue disadvantage from their peers in their conference. They've, probably doubled their travel budget, right? With all the teams that they've got to fly all over the place to participate in the Big Ten. So there's that. And then you've got the schools that joined the Big 12. That one honestly kind of makes, like, as begrudgingly as I have to say it, it kind of makes the most sense, because those schools are all in, the geographical area of what we generally consider sort of Big 12 country, right? Obviously, the Big 12 extends all the way out to West Virginia and Central Florida and whatever now, but and up to Cincinnati. But just sort of like the core of what you'd consider the Big 12, like Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, it kind of fits. But again,
Colorado, obviously, they used to.
It's a lateral move, right? I mean, it's a lateral move, And then you've got fucking Cal and Stanford doing whatever crazy ass shit they're doing, right? Which is just like
$8 million to get.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking it's insanity. It's absolute insanity.
They might be playing all their games in Dallas, like,
yeah, but especially some of the non-revenue. It's all so weird. And like I said, you just kind of put it all together. And the thing people keep pointing out is, well, ESPN and Fox are paying, approximately like $30 million a team to add these 10 other teams to these other conferences. And it's like, but like the Pac-12 wasn't worth like 30-ish million or 30.
Well, like, apparently it was.
I understand it was at the very beginning, but it's like ESPN's not offering $30 million now.
Right.
And yet they're going to pay all these teams 30-ish million to play in other conferences. Right. Like, it just like I said, I think that just is reflective of how poorly it all was managed from the Pac-12 side, how haphazard it was, and how much all of this was done really just kind of in a panic. And it clearly was not well thought out. It was not well planned. If it was, these schools would have all exited with a plan for pillaging the conference on the way out. Instead, they are like, well, maybe we can take some of this with us. Let's try. It's like, they don't have a real plan for doing this. And of course, that shouldn't, I guess, be surprising as we talk about the Pac-12, because they rarely have a real plan for anything, which is how we got in this mess in the first place. But it's thank goodness for us that they appear to have been total idiots on the way out, and will very likely have no claim to any of the assets or the properties. And then the big one is they gotta deal with the liability. They gotta get that $60 million to Comcast off the books. I have a feeling the schools that are leaving are like, well, you're stuck with that bill. If you're not gonna let us take stuff on the way out, then you're stuck with that bill. So I have a feeling it's going to get real messy, and the lawyers are going to win all sorts of billable hours. But
yeah, I would say, so there was one addendum that the judge added, was that because the Pac-12 was arguing that we need to do this so we can vote on keeping the conference running for the next year, Which seems like, why couldn't just WSU and Oregon save over that? I don't know.
Right.
Like, are they going to say, no, we're not going to run the conference?
Well, and what kind of vested interest would those schools have in keeping the conference?
Yeah.
Like, why do they care?
Like, yeah. So what he said is like, yeah, they're allowed to vote on anything, but it has to be a unanimous decision.
Yes. That's right. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of like a, like, oh, I'm giving you something, Pac-12.
Sort of. Here you go. You can have this one if you all 12 can agree. Like, that's like the total parenting move, right? Like, we'll say to our kids, like, well, if you guys can agree, then we'll do that. You know, it's like I do that. Like, how often are my three children ever going to agree on anything ever? Doesn't happen very often. But yeah, this guy probably has children and probably has deployed that move before. Like, yeah, you can do it if you all can agree. So.
Yeah, he made this like he had that decision ready to go, like his.
Yeah.
Like he made that. He's like, I'm just going to do it right now. He said before, like before the argument started, like he said, you know, we could go as long as we want. I have a doctor's appointment at 12:30, but we'll just go recess. We can come back if it goes that long. He had that decision ready to go at like 12:15. He was good to go.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was easy. Like, it was so, like, anyone who was watching that knew where that was going. Like, it was it was obvious. Like, the Pac-12 guy kind of sounded like he wasn't. He was talking, like, making different points that, you know, and then tried to go back to them, tried to say that they're not representing the other 10 teams, but then making it sound like they are then arguing for the other 10 teams at times. So it's like, what are you even doing? Like, it just, it makes no sense. But yeah, so thankfully now we can mock, we can get some glee out of this and we'll see how it goes from here. But but there's, like you said, there's going to be some legal battles. I'm sorry, like WSU and Oregon State don't want to pay for all of you guys to leave the conference. No, thank you.
No.
You left. So like, I don't know why you think you're entitled to all the assets, because that's their goal, is to dissolve the conference while they're still in the conference so that they can gain access to those assets.
So, yes.
And come on, we're not stupid. That's exactly why you were trying to get the meeting on the books. Like, that's the kind of shit you were going to discuss. We're not idiots. Like no one's that naive. Like, stop at talking to us like we're children, Pac-12. Like, and honestly, why is the Pac-12? Like, I don't, what, like, what does Klyakov have to, like, what to, cause he, as oh, as they
I'm guessing,
describe,
I'm guessing there's a parachute involved.
Oh, I'm sure there is, because as the Oregon State lawyer pointed out, Klyakov asked Schultz to call this meeting because he is the head of the board of directors.
Yep,
and he said no, and so Klyakov Klyakov, the Pac-12 tried to call it themselves instead, and then they stupidly sent. When Oregon State and WSU asked for, you know, what is this meeting about? They said everything it was about. Like,
yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, oh my God. Like, it's just a collab. Like, it's just like another feather in the Pac-12's cap of being a fucking bunch of incompetent idiots. Like, I don't.
Yep.
Like, it's like they. It sucks that the conference itself earned this demise, but like the only teams, like only a few teams actually have to fully suffer in the wake, and then student athletes have to suffer in the wake of it. So, but you know, the schools themselves will be getting the money or whatever. Had to get that in. Briefly, Jeff, let's preview Northern Colorado, then we'll talk about beer. They're fucking terrible. Like, I don't want to like sound so arrogant that like, and then we get bit, but they are one of the worst Big Sky teams, or the worst FCS teams. They've played two fellow FCS teams and they've lost by a combined score of 73-18. You know, they played Cam's old school, Incarnate Word, lost 42-7. So they're just, you know, they're not very good. WSU could not play well and still win by quite a lot. SP Plus predicted 56-0 for this game, which I've never seen a flat out zero in a prediction from that before. So,
well, and you just, if you think about, like, you know, as we often do, just like the math behind it, right? Like, you know, the math of these predictions is they take, like, you know, I don't know how many simulations, but it's many simulations, right? And then they average out all these, and basically, so what you get is you get, you know, a mean of the simulations, right? And so it's
and the mean score,
yes, the mean is zero, score is zero, which is like insane to think about because there's nothing lower than zero, right? So like, even, you know, if some of the simulations ended up with seven or six or
it would be
three,
like two,
right? Like the score might be like, you know, 35-2 or something like that. Instead, it's crazy. This team's really bad. And I didn't kind of realize how bad until we started kind of looking at this and we were like, wait, they're really bad. And I'm like, holy shit, they are really bad. I think a good thing because I don't think there's any planet on which this is considered a dangerous team. And I know that fans, you know, hate that sort of talk, like, oh, you know, one game at a time. And it's like, man, I don't play for the fucking team. Like, I don't have to play it one game at a time. Like, I can totally look ahead to Oregon State. I don't have to worry about that. I'm sure, you know, Jake Dickert's challenge this week is going to be to get the team to take Northern Colorado seriously and come back in a, you know, as you mentioned, in a stadium that's going to be, you know, certainly much, much less, attended than last week,
well,
especially with Oregon State on the back end. You know, this is the one that everyone's going to take off. So,
well, I believe they can. Like they've, you know, if you remember, if they beat Wisconsin last year, they played Colorado State the next game
and
they ripped them. Really well. Yep. So I think, you know, and honestly, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is like, let's just, you know, maybe Cam only plays the first half and that'd be great. Let's get John Mateer some reps.
Yeah. I think that's the best case, right?
Loving the John Mateer packages so far. Those have been great. Yes.
We definitely pulled out all the stops on that last drive.
Yeah.
We were we need a touchdown real bad. Everything we got in our pocket, we are going to use here. We're going to put Mateer at quarterback. We're going to, you know, split Cam out. We're going to put him in motion. And the funny thing is, like, it's not like it resulted in, you know, a 20 or 30 yard gain. It resulted in like a 9 yard gain, but that was what we needed at that point. We needed a first down.
So this will kind of, I don't know. Let's just do a quick score. I'll say, like, I was disappointed that they only beat Northern Colorado 59-17. 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So like, I remember thinking like, how the fuck did that happen? Like, we only had 59, they got 17. So like, that's like play a crap and you beat them 59-17. I, for a score, you know, let me, I, there's no line, is there? Like, I haven't seen one. So how am I supposed to,
I assume that there's no line.
So
maybe there'll be one at some point, but
so usually SP Plus is along what the line is, like it's usually pretty close. So let's just say I will say the Cougs will disappoint and only win 49-7. Because I'm on a roll of like, cause I think that if there was a line, it would be like 50. And so I'm on a roll of betting under or like betting that the Cougs won't cover right here. And so I want to continue doing that. So I'm going to say, actually, let me just make sure and I'll say 42-10. So
yeah,
make sure that they're under that spread.
Yeah.
If there is one.
If one does show up, I'm going to guess it's going to be like mid to high 30s. That's like, you typically only see something bigger than that when you're dealing with an Alabama or a Georgia or Ohio State or something. Like, you don't typically see bigger than that. I think they're going to come out and annihilate them. And I'm going to predict that this is the weekend that we finally drop 70. This is the one. I'm guessing 70 to nothing, 70 to seven, something like that. And I was looking, by the way, I was kind of curious. I was looking, I don't know how many people remember Cassidy Woods, but Cassidy Woods transferred to Northern Colorado and played there for a couple of years. And I was trying to see if he was still on the roster. He is not still on the roster. He transferred to Auburn for this year, which I did not know. So yeah, so no Cassidy Woods on the roster, which is kind of a bummer. That would have been kind of a fun homecoming for that guy, but who was, you know, run off by our favorite former football coach, vax denier, moron. So, you know, I'm going to go 77. I'm going to predict 70 to nothing. Let's go.
Let's go. 70 to zip.
It's going to be right up there with the most lopsided game I've ever seen, which was the 77 to 7 game in 1997 against Louisiana Lafayette. Yeah, Louisiana. I think it's, you know,
they weren't calling it that. They were called that back then.
Was back then. Yes, I think it was Southeast Louisiana back then. So
yeah,
this is going to be the most lopsided game since then. Cam's going to throw for 350 yards in the first half. Nakia Watson, Jalen Jenkins, they get untracked finally. Big plays all over the place. Although we probably should mention, we didn't, just to kind of throw this in here, we did lose a receiver after the game. Apparently DT Sheffield quit the team. Nothing else has really come out about that. So I don't really know what else to say other than, I guess that's weird. And it appears that another transfer, Isaiah Hamilton, is going to be the guy who kind of takes his snaps. I thought maybe they might take Carlos Hernandez, the freshman, and move him inside, back inside to kind of let him do his thing. But that's not what Dickard said. So going to be kind of interesting to watch that one. I loved Sheffield. We talked about this. Totally really explosive guy, but, you know, didn't really do much the first couple games. And then, yeah, I don't know. He's gone, I guess. So.
So I will say we didn't mention this yet, but if we can't run the ball against Northern Colorado,
yes, oh my god,
that's going to be very stressful.
Yes, and the fact that we have not been able to run the ball really at all in the first two games is outside of maybe the last drive.
But that was,
it's always funny how when, like, you need to run the ball at the end, you can run the ball.
But it was one design, like, trick play basically, and then two Cam scrambles.
Nikia Watson.
Or you mean the very last drive, not the last football. Nikia, like he did last year in Wisconsin,
finished
ran the ball, ran the clock out. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. That's the thing they've got to get fixed. Cause like, you saw what happened once you sort of, like, I realize at this point we're kind of like all over the place, but we've seen what happens when you kind of run out of scheme. And, you know, Wisconsin was like, okay, we figured it out. You cannot run the ball. So let's try and figure out a way to take away what you're trying to do, throw the ball. And then, you know, for, you know, two quarters or so, it was a real struggle, you know, moving the ball at all. And so they simply have to be able to have a credible running game. You know, maybe they can figure some things out this weekend. I mean, if they ran for 300 yards this weekend, I don't think I would think much different about their future prospects. I'd be like, okay, good. Yeah, you should do that. I think the following weekend against Oregon State's going to be the one that really tells the tale. But, you know, the offensive line really ought to be better at generating running lanes than they are. Like, they're not a whole bunch of, like, you know, children at this point, right? I mean, it's basically the same, mostly the same guys who played most of last year. So,
yep.
We got to do a little better than what we've been doing. And I'm sure that's a point of emphasis. So, looking forward to that getting going this weekend.
Absolutely. So before we lead into beer, I have a Northern Colorado related point about beer, and I would love
yes,
all
yes
your,
you do.
All, all y'all's help on this. So in 2019, when WSU played Northern Colorado, I mentioned Weldworks Brewing because I was like, the only thing I know about Greeley, Colorado is that Weldworks Brewing is from there. So I mentioned them, and I mentioned a couple of their beers that I knew about, Media Noche and Juicy Bits IPA, Media Noche Barely Stout. So they must have like name searched themselves or something. They found the article on Kook Center, and then they proposed a bet to me that Northern Colorado wins or they will send me Media Noche and Juicy Bits. It was rye Media Noche, the picture they showed, rye barrel aged. Northern Colorado did not win. WSU won. I offered some beers back as well. Weldworks, despite me mentioning this many times over the years, has never paid up. Weldworks Brewing has never. Yes, they have never, ever paid up. And I'm pretty sure they follow me on Instagram. And I've called them out multiple times. Like, they have never paid up. They've never said, no one ever reached out to me and said, okay, we made that bet with you. They even, like, after they proposed the bet, if you look at the first reply, it said, it's a bet. Like, if you go onto my Twitter, at the Craig Powers, there is I recently have quote tweeted their bet with me, calling them out. If you want to go in there and give them hell, say, hey, pay up or double down. I'm saying, hey, let's double down. Let's double down the bet. If you haven't paid yet, I'll give you an out. You can double down the bet right now. And so that's what I'll say. Like, go ahead, give them hell. Because if they double down, I'm feeling pretty confident about my ability to win the bet again. Weldworks, give me my fucking beer, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Like, who doesn't pay off a bet? God,
seriously.
It's like loser behavior.
Especially the person that proposes the bet in the first place. It's not like I was like, hey guys, let's do a bet.
It's not like you ran to him and we're like, hey, let's make a bet. You want a bet? Let's make a bet.
I gave them free I gave them free advertisement on Kook Center.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, cool, bet. And then give me my beer.
Terrible.
But yeah,
shame.
They make good beer, but come on. Follow up on your bets. I'm not drinking a Weldworks beer, but what are you drinking, Jeff?
So we talked a bit earlier about Jaden Hicks, and so I picked a beer tonight that was inspired by Jaden Hicks. Sarah and I went to the co-op in Moscow over the weekend, which actually has some low-key delightful breakfast items. They have like kind of it's almost like kind of a Whole Foods like self-serve kind of like situation, right? And so the food was really good. And we have to, of course, you know this, but the listeners might not. We have to be a bit selective about where we eat because we have a wheat gluten allergy between us, and so. We're always kind of like trying to figure out where we can eat and a co-op seemed like a good place. Cause they're always, they've always got lots of gluten-free stuff and whatever. And so, while I was there, we did a little shopping and they had a pretty decent beer section. And so I was looking and I'm kind of looking at the different beers and trying to figure out, okay, I want to get a beer for this week's podcast. This was on Sunday morning. And then I saw this one. I was like, oh, that is perfect. Okay, so this is from Bombastic Brewing, which is, I believe, out of Boise. And the name of this beer is Attempted Murder. And Jaden Hicks literally tried to kill a guy on the football field. Thank goodness the guy seemed to be okay. He walked off the field, but Hicks literally tried to murder him. So
with a very clean hit, I'll say
with a clean hit. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. With a clean, clean, clean hit. But really tried to decapitate a man. And so I went ahead and grabbed this Attempted Murder Imperial Stout. Now the can has some crows on it, right? So as we know, a group of crows is a murder of crows, right? One of
yes.
good beer from Skookum is murder of crows. So this is attempted murder, which is a couple of crows just kind of sitting there. They actually do have, so this, by the way, this Imperial Stout is, with vanilla and cinnamon. It's incredibly delicious. They also have an Imperial Stout called Murder, which is a Mexican Imperial Stout, which then has two crows and another dead crow, or dead something underneath it. And I saw that one as well, but I went ahead with the attempted murder because I thought that was a little more apropos, of what Jaden Hicks did since the target of his, violence actually did get up and walk off the field. So there we go. Attempted murder, Bombastic Brewing. Good beer. I like it.
Look at you with the, themed beverage. I'm so proud.
I try. I just don't have the vast selection that you have when it comes to trying to find a theme. So.
Absolutely. So I have a very, what I feel on point beer, a beer that now and forever starting with last year, will always remind me of beating Wisconsin. And that is probably Wisconsin. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say Wisconsin's most famous craft beer. And that is New Glarus Spotted Cow. And if you've never had it, if you've never tried it, it's ubiquitous in Wisconsin. It's kind of unique in that it is not like just like a light lager. It's this farmhouse, this light farmhouse spit ale. I think technically categorized as Saison. So it's got this funkiness to it, but it's very light.
So I definitely thought it was a light lager. Like when I drank it, I was like, yeah, it's a lager, right? And you're like, actually it's a Saison. I'm like, all right, if you say so.
Yeah. So it has this funky flavor to it.
It does.
That gives it this uniqueness, but you can still crush them. And last year in Madison, we crushed so much of it. Thank you to Emma, who smuggled, you know, you can technically only buy it in Wisconsin. Emma smuggled some over for me, which we were intended to drink on Saturday, but we were just kind of all over the place on Saturday. I was not even near where my cooler was most of the time. So we did it, and I actually didn't realize. I got back and I saw like there was one left in my cooler. So I was like, hey, that's my beer. So New Glarus Spotted Cow, just actually it like multiple Wisconsin fans. We talked about Spotted Cow. They talked about how they brought Spotted Cow, all this stuff. I always has a special place in my heart. Love it. Great beer. It will always remind me of beating Wisconsin now. It is like a quintessential Wisconsin beer. It's one of the beers that's most associated with of one of the states that drinks the most beer, maybe drinks the most beer. Spotted Cow. I also had a Miller Lite, you know, to keep the Wisconsin vibes going. Super enjoying that we beat Wisconsin twice in a row and drank Spotted Cow, and that's wonderful. So that's what we drank. That's what we're drinking. We've went way longer than we have intended. I'm not surprised.
Well, you know, as befitting such a historic weekend.
But we gotta talk about the volleyball team. After the weekend, now ranked number 11, they hosted, you know, a tournament or not a tournament, just an event. So, you know, they beat Towson, they beat another team, I can't remember. But the big match of the weekend, they set on Friday night, 7 p.m. So a lot of people who came into town for the game could see it. And Bowler was electric. And I mentioned I was there earlier. And really, you know, BYU was able to take the last set, the first set, with a big run at the end. But we showed up in the second set. My friend told me is like, you know, it was very close. And then they kind of fell apart at the end of the set. And then WSU went and ran through the next three sets and like totally eliminated BYU's attacking prowess. I think BYU ended up with their hit percentage was like the 140s or something by the end. And it was funny. You would just keep looking at the stats and it was just going down and down and down and down as the match went on. Cause they were just totally shutting that down. Magda had a dominant game. It was just so record, much fun to watch.
Set a record for blocks, I think.
Yeah, she had more blocks than BYU had as a team.
A career record at WSU for blocks.
I
believe that's right.
The block she got in that game. That's awesome.
Yes.
So it was so fun. The crowd was so into it. So the remodel bowler has we saw the new floor. It's kind of what's become the standardized floor in like top volleyball programs.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. It definitely requires like wiping off a lot more. But from what I was told, it is the largest permanent version of that floor in the country. A lot of programs roll it out onto basketball arenas and stuff. But there's only a few that have like these permanent floors, and then they also they made the seating on the baselines kind of more comfortable, bigger, wider, more accessible, and then to make up for some of that loss of seating, they put the students in this new thing called the block on the end, and so there's this big student section right behind. Right behind the court, and it's so cool. Like it's so cool to have them right there, and so cool to have this like unit. Like they had a unified student section before, but I don't know. Like I think when you give it a name and you give it that, like it just gives it a vibe. And like they were great. Like the students were great, and the crowd was on fire. And just to see, you know, it was like the weekend on Friday started off so well. I know the soccer team, we'll talk about that in a bit, but didn't start off so well on Thursday. But Friday, to get a top 10 win, top 10 upset win right off the bat, like you're like, all right, like we're off to a good start this weekend. So that was great. You know, obviously swept the week. They're ranked number 11 now, which I don't know what the highest ranking is in the Greeny era, but that's got to be pretty close. So that's really cool. They're on a roll. And honestly, great, just a great atmosphere in Bowler, and the new floor looks great. Really cool to see. I'm glad we were able to make it to, you know, at least get there in the second. So we didn't see them lose a set. We just only saw them win because we got there late.
Because of you.
Well, yeah, as my sister and I said, we were at the UW-WSU volleyball game the night before the Apple Cup last year, and WSU swept 3-0 in that one. So we're like on a six set winning streak right now watching WSU volleyball.
Perfect.
So get us over to those volleyball games. But yeah, and it was really fun. You know, the team really celebrated. Jen really celebrated. Gave Miles Rice a big chest bump right after the match, and you know, she was jumping around with students and some of the athletes, you know, and stuff that came to watch the game.
So awesome.
So that was really cool. She's obviously such a coug, so she enjoys these wins as much as any of the fans do. So, that was awesome. And then, soccer, I would say, had a bit of a middling week. Glad to see they got that W on Sunday, but yeah, it seems some of the issues. I don't know if I didn't watch, but I just look at the stats and stuff. See some of the issues that we talked about that they had last year have cropped up again.
Yep, I mean, it just really looks kind of the same, right? Lots of shots, a fair number of shots on goal, and then just, you know, not that much. So they did beat Kansas on Sunday, which, you know, you beat another conference. You know, Power Five conference team, you feel good about that. I don't think Kansas is, you know, particularly strong, but they did take, you know, 21 shots, 7 of them on target, which is quite a bit. I do think shots on target is a little overrated of a stat in yes. general, but I think it's actually a pretty good stat for WSU because they do tend to be like a little more liberal with their shots, right? So like WSU might take a shot that maybe another team would not, you know, like, so they'll take some long range efforts. They'll, you know, take a wild lash at the ball if they're even sort of, you know, within striking distance of the goal. So I do think that shots on target actually are a pretty good metric for this team. And so again, you had a game where, you know, they had seven shots on target, but only one, you know, made it into goal. So, you know, is it bad luck? Is it whatever? I mean, you know, who's to say? Hopefully it's just that. Hopefully it's just a little tiny run of bad luck. They do have, you know, some big matches coming up. You know, they play Seattle on Thursday, which, you know, of course is not a huge match, but then on, the following week, next week, they've got a Friday, game against Stanford, which of course is going to be a huge game. And then the following week they play USC, which is going to be a huge game. So they are in the midst of, and this is kind of insane. They are in the midst of a stretch of, let me count it here. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 home games in a row, which is Whoa. Kind of bonkers. So they play Stanford, USC, and UCLA all at home after also playing Seattle. So they are halfway through this insane homestand. And then they've got those four games, Stanford, USC, UCLA. So, yeah, big chance to make some hay, and then they go 3 on the road, 2 at home, and then 3 on the road to finish the season. So they're going to play 6 out of their last 8 on the road. So do need to kind of make some, you know, make some hay here during this stretch. And you know, as we said, hopefully maybe just a little bit of bad luck here with the shots, you know, and not a reversion to what it was that they struggled with so much last year.
Absolutely. One last point I wanted to make about the weekend before we wrap up this traditionally long podcast, not our not our standard when we try to do an hour lately, but shout out to Emma and Zane, my friend Rochelle, Ashley, who all got on board with like the, or Ashley, our photographer, Ashley.
Yep.
That all got on board with this Taylor Swift inspired friendship bracelet trend.
Yes.
So they came armed to Pullman with a bunch of Coug themed friendship bracelets. And that was super fun. Like, that was really fun to hand those out. You know, they'd say fun things on like GFC or yep. You know, that's another Cougar first down, or, you know, do a little tailgating, or we build yeah. underdogs, or whatever, you know, just a lot of fun stuff. And I'll say one of my favorite moments of the weekend is that Emma had given me two, one that said GFC and one that said, "Let's go girls." You know, obviously inspired by the WSU women's basketball team and the Shania yep. Twain, "Man, I Feel Like a Woman." So we ran into Ula Matuga at one point, and who is, she's still at Pullman. She's working with the basketball team. That's why she's still around. She's not playing anymore, but, she's working with the staff. But so I was talking to her, and then I showed her the bracelets, and I said, "You know what? Like, so I got to take that you go, like, Let's Go Girls one and give it to Ula, who is like this originator of that whole thing."
Yes, yes.
So that felt really cool. Like, that felt really cool to be able to, like, here, like, this is yours. This is actually the perfect one to give you. So that was really cool. So shout out to my Swiftie friends for bringing that friendship bracelet tradition to Pullman. I kind of want to keep it going. I know. I'm considering going by.
I have a sudden urge to make friendship bracelets.
I know.
I got one from Zane and his kids. So Zane and Avery and Ellison and Marlo gave me a Best in the West bracelet. So I got a
nice
Best in the West bracelet. And then I also got a bracelet from Emma. So yeah, that was very cool. I wore them proudly throughout the rest of the weekend. So yeah, I thought that was a very cool tradition.
So if you're listening, feel free to join in and just make some cool friendship bracelets. Hey, I was thinking, you know, Oregon State in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We could make some friendship bracelets to share
we
with
could.
Them. Like, yeah.
We should get
like,
them on so, board with that. They should make some. We should make some.
Yeah.
And yeah. We can trade with each other.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be so good.
So, yeah. So, you know, if you want to, you know, if you're listening to that, you think that sounds cool, but yeah. let's start a tradition.
Yeah. Let's get some people
so, yes.
on board with this.
So Jeff, I feel like I hope we did that weekend justice.
I think so.
I had a feeling we would go much longer, but
yes.
Still we've done longer pods before. But I will say, you know, if you wanna, you know, on my I made like a little 1 minute recap of my weekend. If you wanna see that on my Twitter, which is at the Craig Powers or Craig W Powers on TikTok or Instagram. You can find that on any of those. You know, I'll probably during the football season, I'll post a lot more Coug content on all those things. Jeff, you can find on Twitter at Pod Versus Everyone. And Jeff, go ahead and pump that Substack subscription service.
Yeah, man. podcastvseveryone.substack.com. That's where you get the so every episode will get sent directly to your inbox, and then also, you know, I'm kind of maybe feeling like doing some writing this week. I'm starting to feel it a little. I haven't done anything yet, so like those of you who you know have previously enjoyed, you know, the Monday after columns, I was going to do one after Wisconsin, but I just really did not have any time. After our adventures getting back into town, we got a new electric car, and while we love it, it's a little bit of an adventure, traveling to and from Pullman with that car. So I didn't have as much time to do things I would have liked, but I'm strongly considering, writing. So if that is something that you like, then signing up for the Substack means, when I write, it goes directly to your email inbox. And, you know, I've been told that some people like that. So that's an opportunity there. podcastvseveryone.substack.com.
Awesome. Subscribe. And you know, subscribe on your favorite podcast service, too, if you haven't. And rate us
that
5
too.
Stars.
For sure.
Please do that. Leave us a nice review, whatever.
Yes.
Don't leave us a bad review. If you don't think we're 5 stars, then just don't leave a review.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we ask. But yes, with that, you know, what a weekend, Jeff. So of course, go fucking Cougs.
Go fucking Cougs, Craig. Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Get vaccinated.
Enjoy the evening.